Well, greetings and Merry Christmas, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a question you'd like to pose, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to look at a great passage today in the book of Galatians chapter 4, and it really gives a wonderful perspective on the Christmas story. Gives the why of the Christmas story, why did God send his son? And it also helps us answer the question, you know, that so many people have, God, why did you wait so long in my life to save me?
Yeah.
And I think this verse really, or this passage really, gives some perspective on that. So I want to read that and just throw it out to you guys for conversation. So here's the verse, verse 4 of chapter 4 of the book of Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. It's quite a passage, guys, and there's a lot in here. What does it mean that God sent Christ at the fullness of time? What does it mean that he was born of woman? What does it mean that he was born under law? What does it mean that he redeemed us and adopted us as sons? There's a lot to talk about in this one verse, but it really gives the why of Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah, Bob. You know, you just look at this and it says Jesus became one of us. And then it essentially says that he experienced what we experienced, at least the people, you know, in his vicinity, the people that he was surrounded by. They were Jews living under the law, and Jesus was born under the law. He was born in an era of law, and he was born of a woman, so he experienced true humanity, just like we experience it. So, you know, that's the message of Christmas. I mean, that's why we celebrate. We're celebrating that God became flesh, that his divinity is compatible with our humanity. And then you see that played out, guys, here in the second part of this passage. You know, as we become children of God, crying out, Daddy, Father, you know, the reason that we are children of God is because of the spirit of his son in our hearts. So again, his divinity is compatible with our humanity, meaning he, as the divine, as God, resides within our humanity. So Jesus proved it. He proved that God would be compatible with man. And then Jesus proved it a second time when he came to dwell within our hearts and let us know that, hey, you know what? You can be compatible with me now. I'm not ashamed to call you brother. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're united with me. You're one spirit with me. So I'm not calling you ugly. I'm calling you beautiful. I'm not calling you dirty. I'm calling you clean. I'm not calling you distant. I'm calling you close. And so we see our compatibility here. So here's Christmas, guys, and it's not just celebrating the birth of Jesus, you know, to celebrate the birth of a religious founder or something. No, this is a distinct message saying that, you know, we are compatible with Christ because he's made us so. And that's an awesome thing to reflect on.
Yes, it is. And I love this phrase at the fullness of time.
Yeah.
You know, God sent Jesus just at the right time, as Major Ian Thomas would say. And that was the right time as far as human history was concerned. We look at the setup of the world back in those days, the Roman Empire, the road system that they had built, the universality of the Greek language covering the Roman Empire. All of these were factors as to why that was the right time. But really it gets back to the fact that God chose that as the right time. And as that projects to us in our lives, in our individual lives. Some people were saved as children. Some are saved as adults. Some are saved as elderly adults. And I hear that question so often, why did God wait so long? Well, the time that you were saved was the right time, was exactly the right time. And so God used everything in your life to bring you to that point where your heart was ready, your heart was receptive, you were open to receiving Jesus and receiving his life and being adopted as an adult son. And I love this particular word in the Greek language that we're adopted as sons. It's just not that we've become a part of the family, but we've taken up our proper place within the family. We're a part of the family business, so to speak. We are totally compatible, on the same page, and God's purposes in this world have now become our purposes and are being lived out and carried out through us. We're not just children. We're adult sons placed into this family of God. And so this is such a powerful, powerful passage. We've been redeemed. We've been loosed, set free from that old way of life, raised to walk in a newness of life. That's why Christ came. God sent Jesus at the right time to redeem us so that we could be adopted as sons and be filled with the Holy Spirit and led by him as a representative and an ambassador of the kingdom of God. That's Christmas.
That is Christmas. That is great news. It's the news that you hear each day on Basic Gospel. We have plenty of open lines right now. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's the number in Canada and in the U.S. 844-322-2742. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. Generations is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is revealed in the new Basic Gospel book, When God Tore the Curtain. It's our gift to you as our thanks for your December gift to Basic Gospel. To make your Christmas gift and receive your copy of When God Tore the Curtain, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. When God Tore the Curtain, he revealed the mystery to us. Find out what that mystery is in this latest book from Basic Gospel, When God Tore the Curtain. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742.
Well, guys, we've been very encouraged since the outpouring of support and love during this calendar year of 2017, and we're looking forward to a great end of the year.
Yes, we are, and we have $157,000 left to raise between now and December 31st to meet our budget for the year. This is the best position we've been in a long, long time.
Wow.
So thank you for the wonderful generosity that you've shown to Basic Gospel, your desire to get this good news out to as many people as you possibly can. And that's what we've been talking about. We at Basic Gospel love to tell the story of Jesus. We want to tell it as often as we can to as many people as we can. And you are helping make that happen with your generosity. So let's keep this momentum going. Let's end the year strong. Let's finish well so that we can walk through new doors of opportunity, new doors of outreach in 2018. Yeah. So be as generous as you can today with a gift to Basic Gospel.
Absolutely. Well, guys, a very interesting question from Kay, who writes to us from Kyle, Texas. Kay says, my pastor is passionate about evangelism, and he believes the rest of us in our small congregation should be just as passionate. When I read the Bible, I see evangelism is listed as a gift, according to Ephesians 4. Is it not true that we all have different gifts, and therefore not everyone has the gift of evangelism? I have a hard time talking to others about my faith. I'm not ashamed, and I will tell people that I'm a Christian, but when it comes to defending my faith, my mind goes blank, and I get all tongue-tied. And I'm not ignorant about what the Bible says. I listen to you guys, and you make it sound so easy. Bottom line is that I go around feeling condemned because I'm not fulfilling my duty toward the Great Commission or the evangelism that so many pastors and Christians feel that we all should be involved in and be fulfilling. Thank you so much for your answer and for your wonderful ministry. You all have been such a blessing to me. And that's from Kay in Kyle, Texas.
Yeah, well, guys, you know, it certainly reminds me of the pressure and the guilt that I felt as a young person seeking to evangelize everyone around me. You know, my head would hit the pillow at midnight, and I would recall my, you know, lack of service, at least in my own eyes. And I would get up and go to the 24-hour grocery store and find somebody who was in the produce section, who was squeezing the fruit, and I would run up to them and try to share Christ with them at midnight so that I could feel better, so that I could sleep. And you talk about a pressure and a guilt that if we're not careful, you know, we're trying to make every single believer into a clone of one another, and we're taking one spiritual activity and elevating it above others. And I think it's important to have a really well-balanced view of what Christ is doing in and through us. It makes me think of the fruit of the Spirit. And as you go through that list of all that Christ wants to be in and through us, you know, evangelism doesn't make the list. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not important, but my point is, look at how well-rounded the character of Jesus Christ is, whether it's love or patience or kindness, goodness, gentleness. You'll notice patience is in there. And I would say that that is front and center when it comes to evangelism. Kay, your question reminds me of 1 Peter 3, where it just says this. It says, be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, or gentleness and respect. So noticing, guys, the philosophy here for evangelism, it's a philosophy of being ready. You know, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm ready today. If I talk to zero people, or if I talk to 20 people, I'm ready for whatever you want to do in and through me. And so if someone asks, you'll notice that there's an asking here. This is not militant on my part. It's not forceful. It's not me like a bull in a china shop here trying to cram the gospel down people's throats, you know, grace in your face, whether you like it or not. But instead, it's a loving approach where we are ready to give an account of this hope, this Jesus that is in us, and it says with gentleness and respect. So, you know, we don't have to feel compelled to talk to people that don't want to hear it. We don't have to feel compelled to talk to people that don't really care. If they've made it clear that they don't want to hear from us, then we dust our feet and we keep on living this life in Christ, and we trust Him with every moment, guys. So to me, you know, we got to watch out, number one, for making every believer into a clone of one another. Yes, there's a gift of evangelism. Yes, this comes natural to some people because God equipped them that way. But also, there is a readiness about every believer. We can be ready, but we don't have to be pushy, and we don't have to be guilt-ridden, and we don't have to be pressure-filled. Guys, when you're at rest in the gospel, in the truth of your freedom in Christ, you don't have to convince anybody. You just know in your heart you are convinced.
Yeah, great insight, great answer on that, Andrew. And you know, when I think of evangelism, you know, we think of it in terms of a task. You know, We have to go out and evangelize, and we check the box and say, I've done that. And we've missed the way of life. You know, we've been called to walk in the newness of life. And a part of that newness of life, you're going to encounter people, and they're going to want to know why you're different. And you're not different because you necessarily act different. You're different because Christ lives in you, and that is your hope. So you don't have to fear you know, those opportunities that come your way. You know, God has already prepared you to walk in those particular works. So just open up your eyes every morning and say, Lord, we're going through this day together, and whatever you bring, I can't wait to see what that is, and I'm going to entrust you with the results. And the other thing about evangelism that I think most people think of is, you know, we want to get those notches in our belts to say, hey, I led this many, you know, this number of people to Christ. Mm-hmm. And we lose sight of the fact that it's about that other person. Yeah. You know, we're just wanting them to say a prayer, walk an aisle, read through a little booklet, so we can notch it on our belt to say, look what I've done. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's a bad attitude. That's a wrong way to look at evangelism. We just have to recognize this is God's work. We get the opportunity to sow some seeds. We get the opportunity to water some plants. We get the opportunity to do some other things. But God is the source of bringing life to a person. He's the source of bringing growth to a person. We just get to watch and participate in those things as God works through us. So we can rest and relax, as you said, Andrew, and boy, it just makes it so much more fun to live this Christian life.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis, and, of course, Andrew Farley joining us. And we appreciate Andrew's participation with us on these Wednesdays. We'd love for you to participate as well. You can give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. Guys, had another question from Angie, and she says, I'm a grandmother of four children, 9, 7, 3, and a newborn. When my daughter and grandkids used to live with me, we went to church every Sunday, and my daughter attended Celebrate Recovery there. Now she has changed, stopped going to church, and now tells the kids that Christ is fake and that there is only the Most High. She holds church at home on Sundays to observe the Sabbath. I don't know how and where to begin without getting frustrated, so please pray for me, for my daughter, for my grandkids to come back to church, and please help me know how to get her freedom back. God bless you and thank you. That's from Angie.
Boy, that's an interesting situation, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, Angie, you know, my first thought is that we need to be careful what we're trying to get them back to. And, you know, Hebrews 10 says, don't give up meeting together. And the purpose for that is for encouragement and for prayer and for the opportunity to love on each other and pray for each other. And so, you know, I would just say our goal here is not necessarily to have them return to a certain building for an hour a week. But, of course, our real goal is for them to personally have faith in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, these grandchildren being 9 years old and 7 years old and 3 years old and even a newborn, you know, some of them most likely haven't yet comprehended the gospel. And so I would put my focus on Jesus. What I mean by that is I wouldn't, you as being the grandmother, I wouldn't put your focus on church. I would put the focus on Jesus. So in personal relationship with that 9-year-old, in personal relationship with that 7-year-old and with that 3-year-old, I would look for opportunities just to, again, be ready to share, to give an account of that hope that is within you, with gentleness and respect for the children's parent, but at the same time, you being allowed to be bold and be real and be yourself and talk about what Christ has done in your life. So to me, you know, you might end up, you know, with a situation that is blown out of proportion. It could inflate into something you don't want if our goal is to get them into that building for Sunday morning. But if our goal is to have a deep, rich relationship with each grandchild and to share the truth of Jesus with them one-on-one as opportunity allows, then I think you might find yourself building a bond with these grandchildren, each one of them, and that will be way more effective. So what I mean by that then is let's put our attention squarely on Jesus Christ and knowing Him, and let's let that church issue be secondary in terms of attendance anywhere, because that pales in comparison with those grandkids knowing Jesus.
Yeah, and based on the note, it seems fairly clear that your daughter had some kind of failing. If she was in Celebrate Recovery, she'd probably gotten into some kind of an addiction, and that already means that she's probably beating herself up. I'd be willing to bet that somehow she failed in staying on the wagon of getting past something. And now she's dealing with guilt and shame. And Jesus is the answer for her, just like he is for the
grandchildren. Well, it also sounds like she got involved with some folks of a different belief persuasion.
Yeah. Yes.
When she's saying Jesus is a fake and it's only the Most High and she's worshiping on the Sabbath. And so it sounds like she's gotten involved in some type of cult or heretical teaching.
Certainly some form
that
of
denies, that denies the deity of Christ, denies the gospel story of Jesus himself and death, burial, and resurrection. So, you know, as Andrew was saying, and Richard, you too, it really gets down to, as far as the grandmother is concerned, confronting this with Jesus in the story about Jesus.
Yes.
And taking this every opportunity possible to insert the Word of God, the Word about Jesus. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing in regard to the message of Christ. It's not just about the Bible. It's about what the Bible says about Jesus. That's the Word of God. That's the testimony. So insert the Word of God, the story of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, as often as you can, and leave the results of that in God's hands, because Jesus is the answer. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, we love hearing from you, our listeners. If you have a question you'd like to pose, can't get to the phone, well, drop us an email to bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call and leave that message, that question in your own voice at 844-322-2742. Well, from Antioch, California, Rick writes, I know all of our sins are forgiven by the Lord's shed blood, so is not accepting Jesus as Lord the only reason one wouldn't get into heaven?
Yeah, I mean, in short, Rick, the answer to that is yes, that if we reject the blood and the resurrection life of Jesus, then that is the unforgivable, because we're saying no to forgiveness. So the only unforgivable sin is saying no to the forgiveness and the life that Jesus has provided. So when we think about that, then, you know, God's desire is that none perish, but all believe. He's wanting all to come to repentance. And yet we know the reality of that, don't we, Rick? I mean, you know, there's people in your life, there's people in our lives who have heard the gospel, and yet they've decided, I'll take a pass, no thank you, I can do better than that, I don't believe Jesus is who he says he is, I don't believe he did what he said he did, I don't believe that the gospel means what it apparently means. So, you know, there are people who hear the truth and reject it. So when we look at some of these troublesome passages about you know, unforgivable sins and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing, that is squarely what is intended by those scriptures. Guys, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, for example, is when we say, I don't believe Jesus is who he says he is. In the Gospels, they thought his works were works of Satan instead of works of God, and they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Well, we can do the same today if we say, I don't think that Christ did what he says he did. And then we have the Spirit knocking at the door, and we say no thank you to the Holy Spirit living in us. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That is insulting the Spirit of grace. So that's the unforgivable sin, Rick. And so the good news then is if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about that. You have already met the requirement of opening the door, and Christ lives in you forever.
Yeah. A Christian can never commit the unpardonable sin. That's good news. Why? We've gone from unbelief to belief in Jesus. And that was the work of God's grace in our hearts, and we have new hearts that want to trust him in all things. So, Andrew, as always, thanks for being a part of the Basic Gospel broadcast. We love having you. Thank you to our listeners for joining us on today's program as well, and we'll be back tomorrow for another live edition.
In the meantime, we encourage you to take advantage of this wonderful new book that we have called When God Tore the Curtain. It's the mystery that's revealed to the Gentiles, and It's a pretty good story, friends, and we want you to have a copy of it. And we'll send you one. We'll be glad to. When you make your gift during this Christmas month to Basic Gospel, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or call 844-322-2742. You can use that number 24 hours a day to make your donation. Again, basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.